Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you from the lovely city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I want to make sure that I do one thing in particular for a good friend of mine, Jason, who we were talking the other day. And I was sitting in my office because, I was sitting in my office and sweating. And it was only 83 degrees, but the feel-like temperature was closer to 90-something. And poor Jason was sitting at his office, and it was 2 degrees. Now, it is just now November 4th, if we're keeping track real-time of the podcast and when I record. This was just last week, the last week of October, and it was already 2 degrees where he was. And all I could say was, sorry for you, because it will never be 2 degrees where I'm at. So I just wanted to just make sure I told Jason that I would mention that. And I'm sorry. And it's hot again today down here, even though it rained. But it's in a lovely city here, Fort Lauderdale. Folks, I have a pretty good show for you again today. I have a guest that I will be bringing on in a moment. If you've paid attention on the Facebook or the Twitter, you have already seen my promotion of Jerry Johnson Morgan, who is the owner and president of Code Blue Computing. We'll be talking about her and her business. We'll be talking about a book that she contributed to as well, and talking about some other things that I think are going to be relevant to the IT community. But first, let me go ahead and make sure that I mention this at the beginning of the show, because if I wait till the end of the show, most of you really won't pay attention. But Podnuts Pro is audio recorded by me, and you can find it at the website podnuts.com, and Podnuts is spelled podnutz.com, and you can find all of the old shows on there as well. Please go back and take a listen to some of those. You'll find on the Podnuts Network some other great shows as well. You'll find the very popular Android App Addicts, run by the owner of Podnuts, Door-to-Door Geek. That is a great show. And you'll find some other great shows on there, MRP Tech, some other stuff. So head on over there. While you're over there, be sure to pay attention to some of the affiliates and sponsors of the Podnuts Network. Tonight's show does not have a sponsor, but we still have other affiliates and sponsors that, if you go to the website and click through their stuff, you know, our good friend Fabs from Fabs Auto Backup is always a great show. Who else is on here? I didn't go to the page to get you stuff. But of course, Instant House Call is a good contributor of the show. There's some other great stuff on there. And of course, Freedom Voice, a previous sponsor of Podnuts Pro here. And I will always have a link to them in the show notes. And of course, if you do like the show and want to support us, I don't have a Patreon group or anything that you sign up for, but I do ask that if you shop on Amazon, if you go to the link that I have in the show notes and click that first and then purchase whatever you're going to purchase, the price is the same to you, but a little bit comes back so that I can do things like pay door to door to keep the website up so that we can have all these great shows on the air. And that's going to do it here. Follow us on @PodnutsPro on Twitter, and you can now find us on Facebook if you go to facebook.com/PodnutsPro. That is going to do it for the promotional portion of the show. I do have an email that I respond to. It is from my good friend John Dubinsky. I'm not going to read the email, but because he asked about so many things. But one of the things he asked about is my opinion on the Etherscope NXG. And if you've paid attention to me over the last few years, you know that I have loved my handheld network testing tools. And it goes back to the days of Fluke, goes to the days of NetScout, and now the company is called NetAlly, that owns the rights to the handheld units. And so those units, for the most part, you've heard me talk about the Link Runner. You've heard me talk about the cable tester for the residential unit. You've heard some other stuff. But the one that you used to hear me talk about was one called the Etherscope. And for a long time, that was basically the big daddy of them all. So the One Touch that I use for just about everything I do, that can get pretty pricey if you do, you know, the full version of the product. We're talking, you know, 10 plus grand, but it does a lot of stuff from cable testing to network analysis, diagnostics, Wi-Fi testing, fiber testing. It does a lot of stuff. The Etherscope used to be the Cadillac of all of these things, and it would actually do a lot of things in terms of application awareness testing, so many other things. Well, they have come out with a product called the Etherscope NXG. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but I'm going to tell you this. I am having a call with NetAlly this Wednesday, and we are going to talk about me getting a trial of the Etherscope NXG, and we're going to talk about doing that podcast that I have been talking about for so long, where we talk about the new company NetAlly, we talk about the products, and some of the things that are coming down the road. I think you're going to be very interested in that. And Dubinsky, if you can hold off just a little bit longer, I will get you all the information you need to know. I will also figure out where and when you can purchase the Etherscope NXG. I think it's going to be a great product. It is just like the Link Runner G2. It is built on the Android platform, and you can add apps to the tester. So it's not just your basic hardware tester and network, you know, discovery tool. You can add apps on there, and we will go over all of that stuff when I have that podcast. So something to look forward to. So just acknowledging the email from my good friend, John Dubinsky. All right, let me make sure I have no other things to ignore or bring up. All right, I think we're good. All right, let's get to the thing that you've all been waiting for. So joining me now, Jerry Johnson Morgan, I mentioned, CEO and founder of Code Blue Computing. She found that with her husband, William. Code Blue Computing is a security-first business IT and consulting firm. They have 6 employees. Jerry herself has been nominated for the 2019 Outstanding Woman in Business by the Denver Business Journal. In 2015, her company was recognized for the Emerging Business of the Year by the Broomfield Chamber of Commerce. In 2012, they were the Small Business of the Year for the city of Thornton, Colorado. Jerry, those are some pretty big awards.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We're as a smaller organization, we're always so amazed when we get nominated for those, and every once in a while we'll win a few of them.
Well, and I was just going to mention, nowhere in there did it say that you were actually the winner of the Professional Woman of the Year back in 2012.
Right. I know.
You got to put that on. You actually won it.
I know. It's so funny. Sometimes it's just, as you kind of go through your business, it's just, there's things that kind of fall out of your head. And I can't believe that fell out of my head.
Okay. Just a disclosure. I just met Jerry officially in person and talked to her for the first time today. We've been watching each other on the Facebook. Right? You have a video series called Talk Nerdy to Me.
Right.
And I've been peeking in and paying attention to that. You've been paying attention to PodNuts Pro.
Yeah.
So that's how we know each other. And the book we will talk about in just a little bit. But let's first basically give everybody an introduction of you and your company. So go.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, my name is Jerry Morgan. I own Code Blue Computing along with my husband. And actually, this month will be our 10th year in business. So we're very excited. We're very excited about that. And we started our business the way a lot of the guys that I talk to have started their business. They had corporate corporate jobs that they weren't super, super excited about. And that was, you know, kind of our journey. And, you know, so 10 years ago, my husband said, you know, I want to do this thing. And I said, okay, let's do it. And we opened 3 months later, and we've been running and kind of figuring it out and, you know, ebbing and flowing with the changes in the industry. Just what has changed in the last decade is unbelievable to me. You know, the way the industry has changed since we started and kind of what we focus on and what our focus is on now.
All right. So now, did you both have jobs at separate companies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. My husband was a network engineer with Level 3 Communications. He had been there 15 years. I had worked in the sunglass industry, 5 different versions of the same company for 23 years. So we were at 2 different companies, and we were both at that place where you hit, you know, I have a lot of vacation. I'm making really good money. I have good health insurance. We didn't know back then kind of what a big deal that was until we started our own thing. I was like, oh, you know, we should have thought about that one a little bit more.
Yep, that's huge.
But, you know, but we weren't, neither one of us was very happy. We definitely had that experience when we walked into our prospective companies. When we walked in the door, it's like, kind of sucked the air out of you when you walked in. So
I guess, yeah. I'm going to go off script, and I apologize for mm-hmm. that, but I just had a few weeks ago, Dawn Sizer on the podcast, who she is a CEO, and she runs her business with her husband as well.
Right.
Started together. So I'm going to ask you kind of the same questions I asked her. Uh-huh. How did you guys decide who was going to be in charge?
Right. You know, and that's a really good question. You know, that is a really good question. And, you know, and luckily my husband was, you know, was kind of the one that said, you know, I want you to be in charge, you know, and really the way that played out was, you know, he is a classic technician. You know, he loves the tech. He loves kind of, you know, digging into it. Whereas, you know, I had more of a overall kind of business background, and you know, I'd managed people and kind of done different things, and that was like a piece. He was just like, I don't want to do that. So, you know, luckily he was the one that kind of said that, and I wasn't sure at first, but it's worked out, you know, it's worked out well most days.
Yeah, I know exactly how that is because I work with my wife.
Right.
So she came on a little bit later. So it wasn't like we started together. Now, when you first started the business, so 10 years, so 2009, did you actually start as, you know, a full service IT company? Were you doing computer repairs? Were you doing consulting? Right. Did you start doing MSP back then? How did that go?
You know, back then we didn't, you know, because, you know, we really started, we did. I mean, we were both in our 40s when we started this company, and we started it from scratch, you know. So we started this business part time while we were both working, you know, while we were both working full time jobs. So really in the beginning, we started it as computer repair that we did kind of in the evening, you know, and weekends. And probably we did that building up a customer base for about 3 years, you know, and we were very lucky through there because we started to pick up some of our business clients back then, you know, and they really worked with us. We were honest with them about kind of our availability and what we were doing. And so, you know, there would be times where something would happen and my husband would run down on his lunch hour to get a server back online and back. But then in like that third year, we had to make a decision, you know, because it's just like, you know, we're either doing the business or we're not, you know, and we really had to jump in full throttle. And from that point, you know, our focus has been, you know, building the MSP and really focusing on our business clients.
All right. And it seems as though you have made a transition now to where you're doing a ton of cybersecurity.
Right. Right. And, you know, and I think you probably run into this a lot as well. This last, I mean, I'll say probably the last 18 months to 24 months, the landscape has completely changed as far as what when we first started servicing clients, of course, we were always concerned about security, but now it has to be the main concern. It used to be we would go in, you know, and we would have clients that, you know, the computer, you know, we were propping up, you know, computers. It was more, that was the whole Code Blue thing, because we would walk in and all the computers in the office would be flatlined, you know, and we'd be having to resuscitate them all. But now it's different. You know, you have to walk in and they have to have good equipment, and we have to get, you know, multiple layers of security to, you know, to protect clients. So really my perception on security is the focus of our business had to change, right? You know, because if it isn't your focus, you know, you're going to be in trouble and your clients are going to be in trouble for sure.
Right. Now, are you doing any HIPAA?
You know, we don't have a ton of medical clients, so that's not really our, you know, our thing. You know, we do believe in kind of, you know, making sure that you get, you know, you get certified. But most of our clients, like we've got some chiropractors and, you know, and really kind of trying to get, you know, some of those medical professions that see themselves kind of outside of HIPAA, that they're actually in it.
Oh, yeah.
Is always, you know, that's always the conversation, that this is about you as well.
Right. So I've got a lot of law firms.
Right.
That actually do insurance defense. So the insurance companies are making them do a lot of these security measures, and they think they don't have to. But of course, they're attorneys, so they don't think they have to do anything, because they'll just, you know, litigate their way out of it. But a lot of the onus now is being put on us as providers, that, you know, we're now being looked at as we have to be secure.
Absolutely.
And so it has changed a lot. And of course, ransomware. You know, ransomware's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, at least for me, it was bigger 3-4 years ago. But it's almost like the world has just suddenly realized, oh, ransomware is a big deal. Better pay attention.
Right. You know, it was interesting where I'm from last tax season, for some reason, there was a bunch of CPAs that got hit right in the middle of tax season. So from where we are anyways, there was perhaps a resurgence in specific industries. I think maybe a more targeted research, whereas ransomware 3 or 4 years ago, it was kind of more of a wide net type of situation, you know, and that's the whole thing. These guys now are very, they're in business. I mean, they're strategic businessmen that are kind of picking industries that maybe don't have the best security in place, that kind of have the best bang for their buck, and are just going to town with it.
Yeah, of course. Biggest impact for the least amount of work.
Right.
And that's what it is. All right. So I wanted to also, as I was perusing your website, one thing caught my attention, where you have on there, it says the 7 reasons to trust Code Blue Computing.
Right.
And of course, you know, a couple of them are the regular 100% money back guarantee, people first. Local, you betcha. But one of the things that caught my attention was the mind-blowing customer service. How do you describe mind-blowing customer service to people?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, but really, if you know text like I know text. And, you know, my background is, you know, I ran, you know, call centers and, you know, customer service departments and that kind of, you know, that kind of thing. So really, our growth and the focus of our business is always on that customer, you know, is always on that customer service piece. And I think the mind blowing customer service goes between that and the no geek speak, you know, because you run into a lot of these firms where they're not really speaking English to their clients, you know, and like with us, I mean, we're always, you know, we're a family owned business, you know, and our clients are our family, and they know that, you know, they know all of us, they know our staff, and we're always kind of touching base and seeing, you know, where they are. So I think really that mind-blowing customer service is just being in contact with that, having a relationship with your clients, if that makes sense.
It does. And just the simple task of being present,
you know,
when they are complaining, You're actually listening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have to explain something to them, so I've got a client who they're not really my client. They're actually somebody else's client. They're out of state, and I just support the office down here. Mm-hmm. But the point of contact is kind of like the office manager and takes care of everything. And this company, listen, they got a lot of money.
Yeah.
So if they wanted to, you know, get a large MSP type company to take care of them, they can. Mm-hmm. They've got one in their other state. But she actually told them, because they didn't get acquired, but there's a bunch of changes happening in their office where they're having to change systems. They're having to change IT support. Mm-hmm. But she told them, and I was in the other room and I heard it, and I was quite shocked that I heard it. But she said, I don't care what you do with anything else in any other place or what equipment you change, but Marvin is our IT guy. And if he isn't, I'm out.
But I mean, that's the stuff though. You know, that is the stuff. And we've got a client here and it's a similar type of situation. I mean, they're a big corporate entity. They've got a huge IT department back in New Jersey. And even when they were looking for support here in Denver, it was us against an MSP that, you know, kind of throughout the country. And basically we won based on the fact that, you know, we make things simple. We speak English. If they have a problem, you know, we're out there. And even if it's not officially a tech problem, which is what you run into a lot of times, we're there to support them.
Right.
You know, we're there to make their folks be able to do their job easier, whatever that looks like.
You're right.
And those are the things.
Because when I went to go ask her, I'm like, why would you say that? Because first of all, I'm like, please, please don't get me in trouble.
Right.
But she explained it by saying, she's like, look, I don't care. It's, you know, she said things like, you know, the first thing she said was, first of all, you will always take care of us.
Right.
And I said, okay, I get that. And I said, but that can't be it. She goes, well, when you tell me things and we're talking through a problem, you say things in a way that I understand. Mm-hmm. These people on the other side of the phone don't.
Right.
And I have seen her literally hang up on them when she's going through a problem because, you know, she's like, I hear what you're telling me, but you're not listening to what I'm saying and you're not helping me. And she will hang up on them. Mm-hmm. And then of course, all the little things where there's stuff that I do that are not tech related.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if it's simple as helping them take care of something, removing, you know, the trash and taking out old stuff and, you know, I mean, I've helped them. They needed to mail a copier out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And the local copy company wouldn't do it for them.
Yeah.
So we still have our mailing address at a UPS store, started out as a mailboxes, et cetera.
Right.
But I've been there for so long, they literally will do just about anything they need if they can do it. They actually went, picked up the copier, packed it, and shipped it for this company.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, for little things like that, that is why we will always fight to keep you as our IT guy. And I mean, whenever they need me, I go because they take care of me and I feel like I need to take care of them. So, all right.
Yep. And those are the things and I'm sure you run into it like I do, that isn't always the experience. So,
no. All right. Well, that was interesting. I just wanted to get your mind-blowing customer service.
Mind-blowing.
All right. And then, of course, what we mentioned earlier, you're getting known for your Talk Nerdy With Me video series.
Right.
So the first question I want to ask is, how long have you been doing that?
You know, I mean, truthfully, I have been doing those videos off and on for, I want to say 5 years, but consistently and on Facebook Live for the last year.
Okay.
And I will say for anybody that doesn't do video consistently, I highly recommend it because when I first started doing them, even just a year ago, when I first started doing them live on Facebook, they were awful, you know? And so, you know, I think it's really good for anybody to go and do a 30-day stretch where you go live, you know, every single day and just go on and talk about something. Like I don't pre-plan out but for 2 minutes before I go on and, you know, and do the video most of the time.
Interesting. So your first videos are kind of like my first podcast, because they were horrible.
Hard there was one that came up in the Facebook memories a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, this is an awful memory. Why would you do this?
So when you do those topics, and you know what's funny is those types of videos, you're most of the time you're less than 5 minutes.
Yep.
And that is kind of a perfect attention-grabbing video. It's quick enough for people to listen to. Right. And the question I wanted to ask you is, it seems as though sometimes you go back and forth between talking to clients or talking to other techs. So is there a focus, or you just kind of pop off what's in your head at the time?
You know, I mean, there's always a focus. I mean, I'm always kind of looking at what's happening in the news as far as cybersecurity. And there's so much, like, if you're on any of those Facebook boards, I mean, it's just like, there's so many stories that you can pull from there.
Yeah.
From their daily. And, you know, and truthfully, you know, the thing that I've learned over the last year is a lot of the things that we're trying to get our clients to do, there's a lot of MSPs that need the same information or need the same refresher courses that we go over with our clients, you know. So sometimes, you know, it's more for a client, and sometimes it's more, more based on, you know, some of the things that I might be seeing in some of the IT boards.
Right. So you had one, I don't think it was this last one. I think it was two or three ago. You got on the password managers.
Yeah.
So was that a client that was like, yeah, I have a password manager. It's Google.
No, and truthfully, it was a client who is now an ex-client.
Oh.
But really that's the thing as you go through your business is figuring the people, you know, that you want to work with. But I mean, but basically that was a conversation I had with a client where, you know, we were talking about, you know, we need to get in here and, you know, manage these passwords. These passwords have to be changing. You know, we have to have a password manager. And she's like, I do have a password manager. And I was like, you do not have a password manager. Saving it in your browser is not a manager. It's just, you know, it's just not. But when that came up, it really dawned on me, you know what? I think a lot of people do think that that's a password manager. Of course, for IT providers, I'm sure they do not think that that's a password manager. But a lot of times, you know, we've run into other IT providers that they're not necessarily utilizing password managers for their own businesses or for their clients either. So a lot of this stuff, it's like, you know, you're your worst patient a lot of times. And, you know, I think the thing you've discovered in the last year, you can't be your worst patient. You know, you've got to be on task with all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just like they think that their passwords are saved in their browser, their Outlook contacts are saved because when they start to type the email address, it's there.
I know.
And then if they switch computers, my contacts are gone.
I know. And they're so upset. You know, that's like the worst part, because they're like, oh, you didn't do it. No. That's not real. But again, it goes back to the mind-blowing customer service that you just have to, you know, kind of talk people through it.
Yeah. So your ex-client, I assume that there was a come to Jesus moment.
I mean, there really was. I mean, because this is our 10th year in business, you know, and we had so many of our clients that we have had from the beginning, you know, and it was really, you know, when you first are kind of going through those first, you know, few years of being in business, you know, you're just trying to bring, you know, you're just trying to bring the money in. You know, and this was like the first year that we were really looking at, you know, on our monthly support clients, you know, do we enjoy working with them? Do they appreciate kind of what we bring to them? You know, is there value in what we're doing here? Because, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of our monthly support clients were essentially break-fix clients, you know, and that's not where we want to go in, you know, in the future. You know, we want to be working with people that appreciate what we do, and we don't, you know, we don't want to be the ambulance pulling up, you know, all the time. We want people that, you know, that really are appreciating what technology can do in their business. I mean, we've got, you know, we've got a break fix guy we went out on today that he's running an old Access database off of Windows XP. And he had our technician call and he's like, well, does Jerry have any XP machines just laying around? No, I do not. You have to move on. But so really that was a conscious decision on that X client. And we did, we've released probably 4 or 5 monthly clients this year that it was just like, you know what, we're not the right fit for each other anymore.
So let me ask, mm-hmm. how do you classify? Because mm-hmm. that's something, of course, I've been doing, and I've right. fired some clients. I fired my largest client 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And part of the problem is, even though they're paying a monthly,
yeah,
and we have them in the RMM, mm-hmm. what is it that you decided that classifies them as a true monthly services client as opposed to just a break fix that's paying you a monthly fee?
I mean, it's really actually looking at everything that goes in, you know, that goes into those accounts and really dialing in, you know, how many service calls are coming in, you know, how many times we're having to go on site. You know, and even on a lot of these clients that we're doing monthly support on, their computers were still, they should be in the graveyard. They should, you know, and we were rolling trucks more than we needed to be rolling trucks, you know, and we've always been so focused on that customer service piece.
Right.
That's hard to really look at, you know, these people that we may love as people, but when you really look at it, it's like we're losing money and we're not providing, you know, any value here. But it's really kind of removing any emotion or any love that you have for these clients and really looking at, what are you in business for? And, you know, is this client representative of that or not?
So do you have mm-hmm. in your agreement, mm-hmm. Something that says you will keep machines and software up to date or mm-hmm. fully supported by the vendor?
You know, that is in our new agreement.
Okay.
but that's the thing. You know, when we started, we were primarily time and materials, and then we started converting folks over to monthly. But like our new clients that we started signing in the last year, that is in there, but that's kind of where this transition has come with some of these older clients because, you know, the price has gone up. What we require to support them, you know, has changed, but that was not something that was in there originally that in retrospect, you know, has hurt us.
Well, I think a lot of us have been like that. Mm-hmm. I've been guilty of that as well. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm now, you know, doing the master service agreements.
Right.
Thank you to Bradley Gross for getting me, you know, squared away with that, because in mm-hmm. there is the clauses that you will keep, you know, your right. hardware within a supported version of the vendor. You'll keep your software up to date. And that mm-hmm. basically has saved me in the last year alone from uh-huh. having to deal with customers who, you know, they get to the point where they don't want to upgrade their maintenance agreement for their case management software.
Right.
Well, then, you know what? You can't call me.
Yeah.
Because if I can't call them, that's not going to work. And mm-hmm. Most of them, they hate it, but they're making the change. But
right.
they're also finding that, okay, making that change is making their life easier mm-hmm. because they're not having to deal with emergencies as much.
Right. Yeah. And it's just a different way of us looking at our business and our clients too, because to them, you know, they always think if I just call you when I need you, or if I just call you when it breaks, that's much less expensive than taking care of things. And it's just like, no, actually, if you can kind of keep this stuff running all the time, you know, that's a much more productive way and less stressful. You'll live longer too.
Right.
Way to handle your own business.
All right. All right. I want to stop talking about clients.
Right. We'll be here till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
So why don't we turn to something a little bit more, the word festive just came to mind, but that's not the right word, but something that's a little bit of a better note. You were a contributor to the book, Hack Proof Your Business.
I was,
That is now on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it was a nice conglomeration of several people. And so let me start with how much were you a part of the book? I mean, did you write a chapter? Did you contribute to several different sections? Describe that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Each person in the book, they contributed a chapter, you know, so each, you know, each person, and that's what I really liked about it is, you know, each person really picked, you know, a piece as it relates to cybersecurity that, you know, that they feel very strongly about, that they, you know, that they felt like they had, you know, some knowledge to share and, you know, and wrote a chapter on it, you know, and I have to say, I mean, we've got some of the best cybersecurity guys throughout the country in this book. So to be able to be part of it was just, you know, was amazing for me.
Yeah. So the book was put together by Chris Weiser and a lot of the other names on the list people should know. Bart Bartzowicz, Ross Brous, Bill Brunel. So some good names in there. And this book, so it looks like it was a nice combination of tips, real life stories, and a nice blueprint in terms of putting together this layered approach to security. It looks like it's pretty good. I haven't read it yet, but I will. How long did this take to put together?
You know, I think the process as far as putting the book together from the point of like when we started it to when it came out, I mean, it was probably a 6 month time span, you know, as far as putting it together, figuring out what you were going to write on, you know, getting your chapters, you know, off to the book editor and then back to you and, you know, and all that. So it was about 6 months.
All right. And of course, the question I'm going to ask that will be interesting. How much of it was geared towards just small business owners or companies in general versus being aimed at managed service providers who aren't doing what they should to protect their businesses?
I mean, yeah, I will say that the primary focus of the book was on small business owners. But you know what? Managed service providers are small business owners. So I will say that there are pieces in this book that are a good refresher for folks, you know, maybe pieces that they weren't necessarily aware of. Cause that's the thing, like, that's what we talked about earlier. I mean, this industry has completely changed and is changing at a clip that, you know, kind of blows your mind, you know, if you sit down to think about it, you know, sometimes. So, you know, there are things that we do as MSPs that we've got to bring in other people to, you know, to help us with. You know, we should all be having a third party coming in and doing a cybersecurity assessment for our own businesses, you know, for us to be able to do that, you know, for our own clients, if that's, you know, if that's part of our business. But we all need to have those, you know, those assessments of our own business, find out what our own holes are.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I was going to suggest is that even if it wasn't aimed at MSPs, or IT providers, this should be a book that is in your library.
Yeah.
Just so that, you know, again, like you said, it's just another reference to, you know, help remind us of stuff. And it's a good book to say that you have as you're speaking to your clients by saying, look, here you go.
Right. You know, absolutely.
All right. So is there anything in the book? So if there's a listener out there, you know, listening to this show right now, IT provider, solopreneur, you know, MSP, and they're thinking, I don't need that book. I'm sure there's something in there that there would be a reason for them to get that. Do you have anything where, without giving away, you know, the crown jewels in the book, is there a nugget that they should think they're going to get out of it?
Well, I mean, you know, and I think that's the thing, is that all small businesses think that the things that are in this book doesn't pertain to them, but it does, you know. And I would say for any business, the chapter that's in there on training your employees mm-hmm. is worth getting the book, because you know as well as I do that, you know, by and large, most of the problems that businesses are running into, it is because they haven't taken the time to train their employees about what, you know, what to do and what, you know, what not to do. So, I mean, there are tips in this book that, you know, businesses, whether they're working with an IT provider or not, that they can really take pieces from this and really look at their own business and, you know, and start to put a plan together to protect themselves.
So a question I'm having there, and this mm-hmm. is I had a discussion
right.
with a client the other day mm-hmm. because they will do trainings a couple of times a year, mm-hmm. but they have been reluctant to put something in place so that when a new person starts, they are going through training on the day or week that they start mm-hmm. and not waiting until the next training session, which could be months away. Mm-hmm. Is there anything in the book that talks to that?
You know, I don't know if necessarily there's anything in the book that talks to that. But what I will say is on that employee training piece, that and that's my chapter, and I'm kind of trying to go through my head to remember if I said, because really one of the biggest examples that I ran into of a business that got into trouble in the last year was new employees, because what'll happen is, you know, I mean, there's so much information available about our businesses on LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, Google, and, you know, and people are searching for new employees in businesses because they're easy. I mean, they don't necessarily know, you know, kind of what they're supposed to do yet. They're really eager, you know, to impress the bosses. And so, you know, they just have a big bullseye right across their forehead. So for that reason alone is why there should be training on that, you know, like right after you show them where the coffee machine is, where the bathroom is, and then, you know, you train on this stuff because, you know, this is what's happening to businesses every day all across the country.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. The book is titled Hack Proof Your Business, and there is both a paperback and a Kindle version. I myself like the paperback edition. That's what I'm getting. And I think it's coming on Wednesday. So awesome. I will have that in hand and go over that. And Jerry is a contributor to that. And so, folks, if you just get the book just to have it, just to peruse it, get it. If you're not friends with Jerry on the Facebook, do that just so that you can listen to her Talk Nerdy with Me video series. Right. And Jerry, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up or mention that I did not get to?
I do not think so, Marvin.
All right. And when will you find out about the Outstanding Woman in Business Award?
You know, I think we should find out on that in the next, you know, the next few months. That is definitely one where I was just super excited to be nominated. I don't anticipate even being a finalist in that one, but you know, over the next couple months, I would imagine.
Okay. How about this this new thing you're doing as the technology editor for We Magazine?
Oh yeah, you know, I'm super excited about that. I actually I had submitted a few articles to them. Oh my gosh, back in April, mm-hmm. and they had reached out to me and they said, you know, would you like to be our tech editor and, you know, submit regular articles to us? I said, yeah, I'd love to. So I just started doing that a few months ago, and I'm really excited about it.
All right. So you are an accomplished author and editor and, oh my, We Magazine for Women. Mm-hmm. So is that just a digital publication or do they?
You know, they have it's digital monthly, and then they have four issues a year that there's actually a hard copy as okay. well.
All right. So you're going to have your picture in there one day that you can right? frame and put on the wall behind you there.
Always. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Jerry, thank you very much for agreeing to come on the show, talk to us about your company and about the book, Hat Proof Your Business. And I will put the links in the show notes for people to get to your website and to your Facebook page.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right, folks. Jerry Johnson Morgan, the owner of Code Blue Computing. And you'll find all the great links to everything we talked about and to her business in the show note. And I think you will be looking forward to some great articles in the We Magazine for Women. Mm-hmm. All right. That is going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. I want to thank you all for downloading and subscribing to the show. I mentioned everything at the beginning about how to follow us and how to support us. And with that, I'm going to say have a good night, and we will see you shortly. But until then, holla.